This is the IBJ podcast for the week of September the 6th, 2021, brought to you by First Person Advisors, a subsidiary of NFP. I'm your host, Mason King. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. The media industry in central Indiana has been consolidated to such an extent in recent years that it is rare to report a development that truly could have a significant impact on readers, viewers, and the business community. Well, today I am in the only slightly awkward position of explaining a major acquisition that was driven by IBJ Media. As we reported last Tuesday, IBJ Media has acquired one of its competitors. The company Grow Indiana Media Ventures and the Inside Indiana Business and Inside Edge platform of TV, radio, podcasts, internet, and e-newsletter products. The Inside Indiana Business brand, of course, has long been associated with broadcaster Gary Dick, who created the television program Indiana Business This Week in 1998. The TV show quickly gained a following, and in 2000, Gary and tech entrepreneur Scott Jones formed Grow Indiana Media Ventures, and its goal was to focus on business news statewide with a multimedia approach, again using TV, radio, and digital platforms. And in 2019, Gary became the sole owner of Grow Indiana Media Ventures. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have some familiarity with IBJ Media. It publishes the Indianapolis Business Journal, which focuses primarily on central Indiana. It's a weekly print newspaper and a news website that operates 24/7. There are two podcasts, including this one, about a dozen email newsletters, a couple of them daily, the others weekly. It hosts big events for power players in the state's major industries, as well as awards programs like 40 Under 40. IBJ Media also publishes the newspaper The Indiana Lawyer and The Court and Commercial Record. But as we'll discuss here in a moment, IBJ is not on TV and it is not on the radio. This gradually is going to change. Now, from the perspective of somebody who works for the IBJ, if you will, the ironic thing about this deal is that many people who are not clued into the Central Indiana media landscape often mistake IBJ for Inside Indiana Business. More than a few times, I've been talking with a source about a story, and they'll say, "Great, now is this going to be on TV with Gary Dick?" It's as if it's impossible to conceive of the fact that there could be two organizations that cover Indiana business. Hopefully, Gary has some stories about how Inside Indiana Business has been mistaken for IBJ. Indeed, I am joined here by Gary Dick, president of the new Inside Indiana Business division of IBJ Media, and Nate Feltman, CEO and co-owner of IBJ Media. We're going to figure out what this all means for these two media organizations, as well as for our readers, our viewers, and the state's business community. Guys, thank you for making time today.
Great to be here, Mason.
Great to be here, too.
Let me ask the big question first. For everyone who reads the IBJ or enjoys an IBJ product, for everybody who reads the Inside Indiana Business website or watches the TV or hears it on the radio, is any of this going away? Are there any plans to get rid of any of these platforms or products?
The answer is no. The readers and the audiences of Gary's Inside Indiana Business platform and IBJ's platforms are going to remain the same. He and I and our joint companies are going to work at what tweaks along the way over the next number of years that could improve the experience for our readers and for our viewers and listeners. And, we're just beginning to think about what are some of the possibilities to improve both the reader and viewer experience.
Yeah, and that's really, Mason, I think is one of the many things, the many positives out of this deal that I see is being able to, continue to grow the Inside Indiana Business brand on television, radio, and all those different properties on a statewide basis. And again, in terms, and I know we'll probably talk about this, but the marriage is one that makes just such complete sense. The upside is enormous. If you look at IBJ's focus statewide, but primarily central Indiana over 40 years and the great history and the heritage, our history, 20-plus years of covering business in central Indiana, but also very importantly statewide, that statewide central Indiana focus together, we think can mean some really positive things going forward.
Now, I'm going to get to the grand plan in a second, but first I wanted to ask Gary. So over the last 23 years, mm-hmm. you've built a very potent news brand with incredible reach across the state over several mediums. So my understanding is Nate approached you about selling. Why in the end did you decide to do it?
Well, I tell you, because it made sense, and you're right. And Nate, if I remember this correctly, and I think I do, I was on the golf course at Fort Harrison, and it was a terrible day. It was cold, rainy, and miserable. But you left a message for me. That, hey, give me a call,
right.
You know, and that was kind of when things started. Of course, I knew Nate from his role as Secretary of Commerce. I'd known Nate for a number of years, and he had taken an ownership stake in IBJ, and just thought it made sense to start a discussion, not necessarily acquisition. It could be that. Maybe it's just a partnership, whatever. Just kind of throwing the net out there. And that really began, again, 3 years ago, and we'd been back and forth over time. And I knew from the beginning that the potential was there. You know, no question about it. It was just figuring out the timing and all those kinds of things. And the more we talked about it, the more we discussed, the more we really delved into it, to me, in so many respects, it was just a no-brainer because of what we can do. And, I've used this phrase a million times. It's overused, but I really – view this as 1 + 1 = 3, because I think that our strengths, the IBJ strengths together, can create something that's very powerful.
So you're the creator of all this. Was this a difficult process emotionally?
Yeah, you mean selling?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. And I think, again, that's another aspect of this sale. I would not have done this if I didn't feel 100% confident about what it means and what it will mean going forward. So yeah, you know, something, and I got, you know, lots of memories, sleepless nights, but also a lot of happy times too over the years of creating this and growing this and making it happen. So it's kind of like a child, you know, it's your baby, you know, you've brought it along. And what I feel really, emotionally, yeah, there's a piece of that, but it's offset by the excitement. And I made this statement too when I started the show in 98 and then started the company in 2000. I remember this feeling of excitement. Oh man, this, I'm fired up, I'm excited about this, there's, you know, of what's ahead. And that's the same feeling I have now, is okay, what's ahead. I mean, there's the potential for lots of good stuff.
I have to ask, how old are you?
Yeah, 60. I am 63.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you thinking at that point about, you know, what's the exit going to be?
Yes. You know, you always, you know, think about those kinds of things. I'm fortunate, you know, knock on wood, to be in good health. I've got a lot of energy and a lot of juice, if you will, left. So I had no designs and have no designs on slowing down anytime soon. So I'm one of those guys I couldn't see necessarily almost ever. I couldn't see retiring, but certainly here for the next number of years. You know, and truthfully, and I've told Nate this, you know, there were some others who had approached to varying degrees interested in us. But at the end of the day, IBJ Media, what it stands for, what it's about, and I think what it's becoming, just was the perfect fit.
Now, Nate, why did you want to acquire this organization? I mean, you're a business guy. What was the business equation? How did you see this as two organizations that could complement each other?
Well, I'll start by saying I've been a fan of Inside Indiana Business and Gary Dix for a long time. Gary mentioned my experience goes back to when I served with Governor Daniels as Secretary of Commerce, and going on the show and paying attention to what Gary was doing. I've been a fan because he has become, over the last two decades, just part of the business fabric of this state. And so I've been a fan. I've watched what he has done over the last 20 plus years. And it's a true entrepreneurial story in broadcast journalism. He created something that people really respect and want to be part of, and he gets great guests constantly on the show, on the podcast, on the radio, you know, has the radio aspect. So for me, I saw an opportunity for IBJ to really partner in a way where we could be now get engaged on the on these other mediums, on the TV, radio, and other ways that Gary has engaged. And so that was one aspect for sure. That was the business part of the business case. The second piece is, as Gary mentioned, the statewide aspect. You know, IBJ certainly is ingrained in Central Indiana. We certainly have subscribers, you know, across the state, but you know, we're not as deep and certainly you know, not capturing some of the audiences that Gary, we know, is, has captured, you know, beyond Central Indiana. And that's attractive. It's an opportunity to grow throughout the state and do so with a brand that's very well recognized in Indiana throughout the state. And we see a lot of opportunities to really grow IBJ Media through these different new mediums and to really entrench ourselves more deeply and be that trusted news source, objective news source, accurate news source throughout the entire state that Hoosiers, whether you live in South Bend, Evansville, Fort Wayne, and in between, can rely on. And that, to me, gets me really excited.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, just being part of the IBJ on and off for 20-some years, I mean, we have really banged our heads against the wall trying to find a way to be a part of TV or trying to find a way to be a part of radio. When this was announced internally, I thought, wow, this is like the whole kink caboodle in one deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I couldn't agree more. And we and IBJ has had some relationships with TV stations prior, but you know we didn't, of course, the last number of years since I've been involved with the IBJ. So you're right. It does bring together, you know, a true multimedia company by combining forces. So we were chatting a little bit earlier before the podcast. You know. There also kind of clears up some confusion.
Yeah.
And we, you know, in the marketplace,
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I'll walk in somewhere and say, hey, you're with IBJ, right? I love that TV show.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, that's not IBJ. That's Gary Dick.
Yeah.
So
I hit some of the same things too. I get, you know, yeah. Hey, is this going to be in the newspaper? You know, and all that such.
So Nate, how much did IBJ Media pay for Gary's company?
Well, you're not going to find the answer to that because that we did not disclose that, Mason, but you're a good journalist for
it's
asking.
Good to ask, yeah.
All right. So when we say IBJ Media, remind our listeners, who are we talking about? Who are the owners of IBJ Media?
So it's myself and Mickey Maurer, a longtime entrepreneur, as well as his longtime friend, investing friend, Bob Schloss. So it's the three of us who own the IBJ.
Gary, how much did they pay you for the
Can't tell you. Good try, though. Good try. I like that. I mean, that's impressive. I like it, Mace.
Gary, tell me more about your role going forward as president of this new division of IBJ. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we'll be president of the division, so lead the Inside Indiana Business Division. So part of it will be doing what we have been doing for the past 20-plus years, but also with an eye, obviously, to continue to grow what we're doing. And then also, very importantly, looking at how Inside Indiana Business can partner, collaborate, work with, do all the things we need to do to grow the enterprise, the overall enterprise, on a statewide basis. So there's a lot there. I'm sure Nate has been thinking about some ideas as well once we get rolling here to do that. And I will tell you know, and having had that and created that statewide footprint over a number of years, this kind of thing is needed around the state, you know. And I think, and again, Nate would know this very much from being Secretary of Commerce, you know, the state needs to be about more than just Indianapolis. You know, Fort Wayne and South Bend and Evansville and Southeast Indiana, Gary, all these areas need to grow and to be part of the state. And there's a feeling in these markets, very parochial. It still exists, maybe not as much as it once did. Certainly 20 years ago when we started this, I will tell you, it was there was pushback. You know, we go to South Bend. I remember being in Evansville, and wow, you're Indianapolis. You know, we're Evansville. You know, there was that disconnect. I think some of that, you know, has come down now. I think more of it has to, and I think from a content standpoint and a connection standpoint, what we're doing in enhancing this statewide coverage can help do that. And I think ultimately that can be a real positive for the state, really.
Now, a lot of the anxiety that I've sensed since we made the announcement, I mean, for example, in comments to our stories or comments on social media, people are afraid of change. You hear both of these. You hear, well, IBJ is going to drag down Inside Indiana Business. It's going to be a shell of what it used to be, and then vice versa. How do you think IBJ and IAB are going to change each other? Are there ways that you want them to change each other?
Well, there are lots of ideas, and Mason, you've heard me say this because you've been part of some of the initial, just when Gary and I have talked to our groups about this together, which is, you know, I want to learn from our employees and our new employees from inside Indiana business about what their thoughts and ideas are. I mean, I've always heard and know from my business experiences that the best ideas usually come from folks, mm-hmm. within the company. You know, the old, I think it's the old Toyota line, that, you know, that they learn the most about what changes they need to make to the vehicle from the line workers who every day are putting it together. Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? And so the folks are putting together our news broadcasts, who are putting together the paper, you know, learning from what they see within media and what audiences are craving. So that's number one. There are a couple things that I would say that our readers at IBJ and our and inside Indiana business might experience right away. And one of the things I'm excited about doing at the IBJ is within the newspaper, within our weekly, both print and digitally, having an inside Indiana business wrap up from around the state that very visibly our readers can find and feel a difference that we've combined within hopefully a very short period of time. I think we'll launch that within a few weeks, mm-hmm. And then you know, obviously the IBJ over a number of years has been really good at bringing community together through our events, and they cover lots of different topics, as you know, within the business community. And I think there's a hunger for those events beyond Central Indiana. So one of the things I'd like to do, for example, next year is experiment with some events in some of the markets around the state, whether that's South Bend, Fort Wayne, Evansville, and other places in between. Thinking about, you know, what would those markets enjoy and from a community standpoint, and what are the events that would be supported in those communities. So those are a couple of just ideas right off the bat, Mason.
Yeah, and I think I just added that and totally agree with it. And again, as we coexist as together under the same ownership, but as different brands, if you will, I think that's a key to making it work. And the things that we bring to the table, in particular television and radio, the things that IBJ brings to the table, they're different. We do a few things the same, but they're different. So you throw those together, and the reader, listener, viewer is going to benefit from more content. And again, I think more diverse content and more content from around the state as well.
Yeah, one of the first comments I remember reading on our initial story was, oh, great, now I can stop subscribing to Inside Indiana Business's e-newsletters.
Yeah.
But there's a sense that it's all just going to be the same. It's going to be a homogenous.
Yep. And to me, that doesn't work, because that would be, and then if you look at it from a business standpoint, from a revenue standpoint, I think it would hurt as well. So we need to and will work together, but also our distinctive brands bring things that their audiences, you know, we're going to attract IBJ people to what we do, IBJ, us to IBJ and that kind of thing as well. So I think in the end, again, the big winners are going to be those viewers, listeners, and readers who've connected with us over the years.
Okay, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
What will take you and your people to the stratosphere? News, learning ops, and insights from the benefits, compensation, and people experts at First Person Advisors, now a subsidiary of NFP. Subscribe to The Boost for weekly updates at firstpersonadvisors.com/boost.
All right, we're back with this week's edition of the IBJ Podcast. I'm talking with IBJ CEO Nate Feltman and Gary Dick, president of our new Inside Indiana Business Division, about the combination of the state's biggest business news brands. When we had our first company meeting about this, I remember I embarrassed myself with a series of questions that revealed that I sort of thought that we all had the same audiences. And Nate said apparently you guys did a study to determine really how much overlap there was. And yeah. I mean, from my perspective, it's surprisingly little.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. And that's the thing that is even more attractive about combining forces here is that, you know, when you look at the where the web traffic, for example, comes to our websites, as you can imagine, IBJ has a high central Indiana concentration, and it's over 50% of our web traffic comes from central Indiana, as we would define it, right? But for Gary and his team at Inside Indiana Business, it is like 75% comes beyond, so only 25% comes from central Indiana. And it naturally makes sense because you're a statewide, Gary's Inside Indiana Business platform is a statewide platform and covers issues statewide. But that's just a huge opportunity. It shows, to Gary's point about the brands and about the audience, they're two different audiences. I also realize Gary's subscribers, the Inside Indiana Business or the Inside Edge subscribers, to those newsletters, you know, I think it's 90%+ are not IBJ subscribers. So I mean, it's a different audience. And so, you know, we're, as I said earlier, you know, we're going to be looking at a lot of different things about how we can maximize this platform together. And I'm sure there'll be tweaks along the way. But we see an opportunity, as Gary said, to have some mix and match with the audiences. And for, you know, for I think there's a craving for me personally. So maybe it's just me and I'm biased for as an IBJ long reader and subscriber, I think there's a craving for IBJ subscribers to know what the heck is going on in places like South Bend and Fort Wayne and Evansville. You know, I just keep hearing all these wonderful growth stories of Fort Wayne and what they're doing by the river. Yep. Same thing is starting to happen in South Bend. They also have the benefit of the St. Joe River, and there's good things happening in South Bend. That's my hometown. And, you know, I don't know what's going on in those places by reading the IBJ today. I'll learn a little, you know, learn more from the Inside Indiana Business Platform. But how can we expand that? And I think there are a lot of people here in Indianapolis that would love to have a regular feed of what's going on in places around the state.
Yeah, and you bring up a great example of Fort Wayne. I mean, you say South Bend is, and there's things going on with the Med Center down in Evansville and the distribution and logistics in Southeast Indiana, River Ridge. But Fort Wayne, I mean, I'm telling you, it is unbelievable, this massive riverfront development, the downtown development, Electric Works, this big multi-faceted facility in the old General Electric. They have enormous things going on that I'm telling you, 90% of the people here in Central Indiana have no idea about, and especially if you're in the business community, you want to know what's going on around the state. You need to know that, or you should know that.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, it opens up opportunities. One of the things that I wrote about my column this week is that, you know, we have an opportunity to showcase the risk-taking, the entrepreneurship. I mean, this is what Gary's been really good at doing, but the more connected that we can be in terms of Hoosiers, the more information sharing and awareness, you know, it gives opportunity for upward mobility. People who are looking for new opportunities throughout the state. If you're in Evansville or, you know, and there's a great opportunity in South Bend that helps you climb the ladder of where you want to go, that's real. I mean, and I think we, you know, that goes beyond just journalism, but just in terms of the connectivity, I mean, journalism is an important piece of keeping people informed of what's happening and where their place in those new opportunities lies. And I think that's an important piece that I think we can be a part of.
So prior to the acquisition, Nate, how many people did IBJ have?
We had 45 employees.
All right. And how many did
about 12.
Your organization?
Yeah, 13.
12.
Yeah.
Okay. And how does that 12 break down, basically, for folks not familiar with the organization?
Yeah, there would be, we have a financial, you know, one financial person, guy, got to run finance, a couple salespeople, and then sales and marketing, you know, have a couple, one person marketing and promotion. Technical folks for the podcast in web and those types of things. And then the rest is, you know, a couple show producers, podcast producer, three full-time writer reporters, part-time, a couple part-timers as well.
It's amazing what you're able to produce. And these your folks must be tired a lot. They need this Labor Day weekend.
They do.
Because
you
produce a ton of
People are amazed at what we push out. And it's been that way from day one.
Yeah. Well, we're tired too, Nate.
I know. I know. We do more than our share. I know.
So is anybody losing their job as a part of this acquisition?
No.
Either IBJ side or IAB side. So everyone's got something to do in the combined company.
Plenty to do. Yep.
When we report on mergers and acquisitions, usually the acquirer says something to the effect of, oh, this is great for us because we have economies of scale. You know, we found some sort of redundancy. We're going to streamline it.
Uh-huh.
Are there economies of scale in this?
You know, there will be a little here and there. I mean, I can't point specifically today because we have a lot of learning to do. But anytime, you know, you bring, you know, an organization together, you know, my hope is that in a fairly short period of time that the IB team will join the IBJ team under one roof, right? So, of course, you know, there's potential economies of scale in that effort. And there will be others from a technology side, probably. You know, we have two phone systems, right? And so, you know, we eventually will do that and look at all different types of the back end pieces of technology. And so there'll be some opportunities there, but we're still in the learning phase, Mason. And I would just add, so obviously now that we're under one roof and we're working together, I mean, we can actually plan who is going to cover what. And so when you do that, you create some more capacity. When you have more capacity, you can cover more stories. And so, you know, as we think about Inside Indiana business brand being the statewide component, IBJ being focused more central, and of course there'll be some, you know, I always use the Penske buying IMS, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously we want, Gary's going to want to cover that's here in central Indiana because it's a huge story, and we want that opportunity to be on TV and radio. But in a general sense, you know, if you look at, you know, the overlap at times between our two companies and what we cover, we can take some time and really figure out, okay, this is great for Inside Indiana Business. This is great for IBJ. And figure out, like, how best to do that to the advantage of all Hoosiers, to the advantage of a CEO sitting in Elkhart, Indiana, or a CEO sitting in Richmond. You know, like, hey, we're going to figure this out, and we're going to provide more coverage, more in-depth coverage, and that, to me, is the opportunity. And for a CEO sitting anywhere around the state, or frankly, a line worker, you know, in Richmond who says, gosh, now I know there's an opportunity over in Kokomo, you know. So, and that, to me, that is where we have an opportunity to make a difference in the state.
Right. So I opened the podcast by talking about consolidation. So I think some people will hear about this acquisition and say, well, this is just more consolidation.
Yeah. I just told you the opposite, though.
Yeah. That's right. A reasonable reaction to this news is that, I mean, it could be a bad thing for media consumers, that it takes two independently minded local news organizations and turns them into one, and that consumers are going to lose that unique perspective or some unique perspective in there. Do you think there's anything to it?
See, I just don't see it, because Inside Indiana Business is going to continue, and Gary is going to continue to do the incredible work that he's been doing for the last 20 plus years. And so I don't see it that way. I just see it the opposite. I see more opportunities. And as I mentioned earlier, the example of IBJ readers having a better understanding. And really, when you write stories and it's in print, it's in digital, you know, it's a visible way of seeing what is happening around our state. And that's something that I want to bring right away to our readers. So I don't see something being taken away. I just see us getting wider, deeper, and expanding our coverage versus the alternative.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And you're right. It's a natural. You think, okay, they're coming together. It's a consolidation. It's gonna limit. This is the opposite of that. And I would say two of the central themes in this, one is growth. 1 + 1 = 3. We're going to continue to do what Inside Indiana Business does, IBJ doing what it does, but together being able to do more things and more opportunities throughout the state. And the other thing is local ownership, you know, and then we keep that local ownership. Nate and I are both native Hoosiers, obviously live here and care about the state and what we do. So the out-of-state corporate ownership that seems to be prevalent throughout media is not the case here either. So it's a story about growth, a story about local ownership, and wanting to grow and mm-hmm. to expand what we're doing.
And I yeah. mentioned earlier, creating capacity for more, mm-hmm. for yep. deeper. And you know, that's my commitment. And, you know, my co-owners of the IBJ, Mickey Maurer and Bob Schloss, you know, they are big-time Hoosiers. You know, Mickey, everybody knows Mickey's story of, you know, wanting to create a local bank. He brought the IBJ back to local ownership when he purchased it in 1990. It had been sold to an out-of-state company that owned multiple business journals, and he wanted to have an Indiana-owned a business journal. Because when, as Gary mentioned, when you have local ownership, it makes all the difference in the world. You are engaged in the community. You are, you know, contributing to the community in different ways, and you care. You care deeply about what is happening in that community, and that translates into, you know, more in my mind. And I've seen it, you know, as Commerce Secretary, I saw it all the time, and Mickey saw it as Commerce Secretary, where, you know, it sometimes when you're owned by an out-of-state, decisions don't go your way, mm-hmm. and we want decisions to go Hoosier's way.
I'm going to go way inside baseball here for a second, but I know that there's a good amount of listenership to this podcast, people who work in the public relations community and the corporate communications community, mm-hmm. and they are probably thinking to themselves right now, what does this mean for us? Mm-hmm. I mean, I bet we get pitched a lot of the same stories sure. from a lot of the same companies or public relation houses, and I'm sure they're thinking to themselves, who do we contact now? Do we continue to try to, you know, exert our influence on the media by contacting both companies yeah. like we used to? Or if I let Inside Indiana Business know about this story on embargo, should I assume that the IBJ knows about it already, or is that going to be a separate call for me?
Yeah, I mean, starting out, certainly continue to contact whoever you contact at Inside Indiana Business and whoever you contact at IBJ as normal. Over time, that could you know, change or morph or, mm-hmm. or modify sure. a bit, but you know, make the same pitches to the same people and go from there. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the right answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So nobody should say, now, Mason, can you make sure that Gary knows about this?
No, it is exactly accurate. I mean, yeah. Right now, continue to do what you've been doing, right? Mm-hmm. And we may have some tweaks over time, but it's going to take some mm-hmm. time.
Okay. So what is the next step in the process? Maybe the better question is, when are we all going to be a happy family on Monument Circle together?
Yeah.
So, I mean, our goal is by the end of the year that we will be under one roof. That is certainly important to me. It's important that we get to really know our colleagues and spend time together, because I believe collaboration and brainstorming, you know, happens best in person. We've all been through obviously a very difficult time over the last couple of years with the pandemic, and you know, I've noticed it personally that when we're not in the office, we're missing something, right? Mm-hmm. When we're not collaborating, we're not grabbing somebody, hey, did you think of this? And because you know those random encounters that are, you know, lead to ideas and new opportunities, they just don't happen the same way in my experience. And I think people I know in business have kind of shared the same thing. So my hope is that we get together and working under the same roof, hopefully by the end of the year.
Guys, thank you so much for making time.
Thanks, Mason. Enjoyed it.
Appreciate it.
My thanks again to Nate and Gary. If you'd like to read more about these two news organizations combining forces, you can check out the latest print edition of IBJ or go to the IBJ or Inside Indiana Business websites. And before you get on with the rest of your week, there are a few other strong stories I want to bring to your attention. IBJ's John Russell heads back to the COVID testing clinics and finds that the surging demand for testing is pushing wait times into the stratosphere. People who need a test for travel, work, or school are spending hours, sometimes days, looking for a place that can squeeze them in and get results quickly. Also in this week's print edition, Susan Orr explains how technology and politics are leading banks to rethink their overdraft fees. And Mickey Shuey has a scoop on a large entertainment facility planned for the West Bank of the White River, just outside of downtown. It could be a shot in the arm for the long-discussed efforts to make the riverfront more user-friendly, and it could be just close enough to downtown to serve conventioneers. Again, you can read all these stories in the latest print edition of IBJ or online at IBJ.com. I will say it is quite a bit easier to access all of the latest local news about business and politics and all of IBJ's data on Central Indiana's business community and economy if you are a subscriber. It works out to about $2 per week for actionable information you're not going to find anywhere else. Just go to IBJ.com, click on the subscribe button. And thanks again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast. I'm Mason King. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be back again next week.